And it's great to be back. We are back once again, the 267th time. I'm not really under the weather, but I don't feel great. I've had like two nights in a row, I didn't sleep very well. And second day in a row, I woke up with a splitting headache, aching all over. I don't feel like I'm sick. I'm just not feeling at my best, but the show must go on. But if I don't sound quite as maybe, I don't know, energetic as usual, that's the reason why. But regardless, we're going to have a great discussion. We have a fun discussion. I appreciate all of you tuning in and joining us once again this week. Great to have you here. If you get something out of the show, put something in the plate. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. That mailing, we only do the ultimate privacy coin, snail mail. We got that mailing address right there. I said it last week. I'm going to bring it up again this week. There is a deal down there. It says we can accept donations at this Bitcoin and Ethereum address. Those are Sven's addresses. I never took those down for obvious reason. I'm not going to take his addresses down. But I don't have access to that. I have no access to that. Anything, if you've mistakenly were trying to send something to me and you sent it there, it's okay. You know, it's all good. That'll be there for him when he gets out. You know, I just consider it something for Sven. But because I did have somebody recently get confused and they're like, I sent you some Ethereum. I'm like, what? Where'd you get the address? Well, it's right there on the page. It says you can accept donations. And like, you know, I don't mention that very hard. I hadn't mentioned that in a while, so time to revisit it. Listener supporter mailbag. This is where we move right into the listener supporter mailbag. Mr. T, GPD, still zip line. Everybody's worried about the zip line. Still zip line free. Triangle Whip. GPD, hope things are fine there. Sorry for the tie. Things got rough around here. But no zip lines. So, but I did have a good Easter. And that's from Triangle Whip. Yes. Mr. T had brought up here a while back. He said, look, y'all. If y'all like missed that, you're like, what's the zipline joke? You know, Mr. T here a while back was like, you know, if y'all send something through the snail mail, it ain't like Masal, it's gonna come ziplining through your window. Okay. Mr. T is probably not his real name. I'm just saying. See, we respect the anonymity. I get it, you know, I do. And believe me, I do. But you know, I do chuckle a little bit though, because some people get so over the top with it, you know, and I always feel like I got to come back out and say, look, you know, we're not doing anything illegal here. There's nothing illegal. We're not, you know, this is if you're looking for some kind of like crazy ass terrorist website, but you ain't gonna find it here. You're gonna be disappointed. I always wonder, you know, like how many, like, you know, shit lib like journalists or something, they're like, man, I'm gonna write a big story on the crazy extreme content on this Radio Albion place. I'm doing expose. And they come in and they like, okay, you know, this is Grandpa Dan. I hear he's nefarious. And they tune in and, like, you know, find him trying not to laugh at some of the stuff I talk about, you know. And then it's like, then they start hearing something about Jesus and they're like, they can't even understand. They're like, I gotta turn this off. I don't even know why. I turn this off and run away. About this Dr. Johnson, Orthodox nationalist. I bet that's some kind of crazy extreme. He's probably talking about going on like a Christian jihad. And they tune in and then they just happen to pick one of Dr. Johnson's show about some saint that lived in the 1300s. and they're like, they did go into a trance because they think they have a flashback. They think they're back in college and they start taking notes. It's like, oh man, I bet we're going to be tested on this. The point being, we're not. Sven had told me here recently, and I think I already told you all this, but Sven told me here recently that the British, you know, the UK police had basically done a thorough going over of the site. The UK, mind you. And gave it a clean bill of health. They're like, well, there's nothing here problematic. You know, everything's good. Of course, they're liable to change those rules tomorrow. We know how clown world works. But the point is, look, we're not This isn't some extremist crazy shit around here. Y'all chill out with that. I mean, I understand the anonymity, and y'all know me. Y'all write me a big long letter, and y'all get into personal stuff, and I read that. You know, and I don't mind that. I'm not a complaint, but you notice when I read it, you know, we should do the mailbag here. You know, I don't ever put that stuff in there. If I think somebody could put, I don't know, Bob from Georgia together with the circumstance, be like, hey, I know that sounds like the guy at work. And he had that very same thing going. His name's Bob. See, I make it. It probably wouldn't happen. See, I care that much. I care that much. As usual, record the show on the weekends. I always record the show on the weekends. Now, usually the Daily Nationalist shows, depending on what I got on. You know, I have the Monday Daily Nationalist and the Friday Daily Nationalist. But depending on what I got going on, but most of the time those shows, I actually record those on the day of. In fact, sometimes like 15 minutes before that show's supposed to be up, I'm just now wrapping it up and getting it loaded up so it's ready to go up. So I always try to keep those current because those kind of deal with news stories and current events. But this show, I always record it on the weekend, get it out of the way because it's not really a current event show. We don't do news topics here. We might talk about general things in the news. But I always feel like I need to point that out because like some big happening. Right now they're waiting for Iran. They say Iran's going to attack Israel. Of course, they're trying to paint this out of the blue. Of course, the point here is, before I get off on that too much, is that if that happens, you'll be like, well, how come Dan didn't even be talking about that? Because when I'm recording this, that ain't happened yet. That's something, though. You know, they lie. I was seeing a story this morning. Because I always do kind of skim through the news real quick before I do this. So I do know if there's a big happening going on. So I know not to totally ignore it. And, you know, the Biden people, you know, talking about, but I think they rolled out Joe Biden. They hyped him. They pumped him up with enough speed to where he could put some strings, some sentences together. And, you know, talking about, oh, we're going to move military hard. We're going to do everything to protect Israel. And we're cautioning Iran. Don't you dare. You know, and they acting like this would be out of the blue for no reason at all. Iran just decided out of the blue. Then one day, for no reason at all, Iran has decided they might attack Israel, probably because of the Ayatollah's anti-Semitism. No, they bombed their embassy. They managed to attack two countries at once. They bombed Syria, and then they bomb Iranian territory, which is what a consulate is. That's considered the territory of the country. You know, like if you go, that's why you have, you know, they can't, the police can't come in there. Like if the police are after you, and you go in. You see those shows and they're like chasing a spy or something. They make it to the other country embassy. You know, if you go into the Chinese embassy or the Russian embassy, well, whoever's damn embassy, the police have to stop at the gate because that's their territory. That's why you see these pictures of the U.S. embassy in other countries. They got Marines guarding the front gate because that's the United States within that gate. Of course, most of these Western countries, the whole damn place is the United States. They just pretending they're another country. I saw that ding-dong Schultz there in Germany. Now that the U.S. is de-industrialized Germany and their economy sucks, he was blaming Russia, of course. He's like, the Russians turned off the gas. That's why our economy sucks and we're de-industrialized. Like, yeah, it was totally Russia that blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. Very good. It was funny because Russia, you think back, Russia refused to turn off gas. Everybody was like, why don't Russia turn off damn gas? You guys are making war against them. Don't even make no sense. And when Russia didn't turn off the gas, the U.S. had to take matters in their own hand, blow up the pipeline. Had to blow up the pipeline themselves. And he up there trying to talk about, it ain't our fault. Russia ruined your economy. The Russians did it. I don't know. They out here finger wagging, you know, talking about, Iran better not be, you know, and it's like, Israel's the one that attacked your greatest ally ever. Your allegedly greatest ally ever is the one who went and bombed basically two countries at once. They attacked two countries at one time. And now you're finger wagging at Iran going, don't you dare do anything. You don't want to feel the wrath of the mighty United States. It's also tiresome. It's also tiresome. It's so cleared out, unless you're like willfully not seeing it or you're just a moron. It's so clear now that the democracy thing doesn't have anything to do with voting or what the people want. There was a story just this morning. And, you know, the FISA thing, you know, this is ridiculous where they spy on everybody here in the country. And they use that FISA court scam to spy on the Trump campaign. You know, it has to come up for reauthorization every so often. And nobody likes this damn thing. I mean, you know, this is one of those things to where really, I mean, I'm talking among regular people, not among the Washington, D.C. crowd, but I mean, regular people. Whether you self-identify as conservative, left-wing, right-wing, liberal, or whatever, nobody likes this damn spying apparatus thing that's been put in place. Nobody likes it. And, oh, they made a big thing about it. I seen stories just the other day. Oh, there's a group of Republicans blocking a vote on the FISA spying program getting renewed. And I'm like, you know, they're just doing that so you think that, you know, the system is somehow working in your favor. Well, lo and behold, I see this morning the Republicans pulled it together to push through a vote. And they always, you know, say they try to do this to where it's like, you know, enough Republicans oppose it and enough Democrats oppose it. You know, like you get all these Democrats and they'll come out and condemn Israel because they're, you know, slaughtering civilians on a mass scale, ethnic cleansing, genocide, whatever term you want to use. And you have these Democrats come out and they make a show talking about we can't be having this. But did you notice the funding always goes through somehow? And it doesn't matter what the ratio of Democrats versus Republicans in the Congress is. It somehow magically just gets pushed through. They always have the votes. You see, it's kind of same thing with this. You got a handful of Republicans talking about, we got to respect the privacy of the American people. We can't be reauthorizing this fight. But then it magically gets passed. Or they got them to give a concession. You see, now instead of every like 5 years, it's every 2 years. It'll have to get reauthorized. See, what a change. You got something. See, the system is totally, totally working for you. I mean, I understand. I understand to an extent, you know, the reason people feel the desire to go into a state of denial. Because if you accept that reality, what does that mean? You know, me, I'm done voting. You know, I am. I'm done. I'm not. Because I look at it this way. It doesn't matter who you vote for. So what you're actually voting for is the legitimacy of the system. If they had an election and like two people in the entire country showed up to vote, they couldn't sit there and pretend like this is some sort of legitimate thing. Of course, they don't care anyway. I'm not voting for it. I'm not taking part. I remember back, you know, over the span of my life, you'd have people that say, if you don't vote, you ain't got no reason to complain. You can't complain if you don't vote because, you see, you're part of the problem. You're not voting for the right people. Well, I voted for the quote unquote what I was told were the right people plenty of times, and everything's got shittier. I never got what I wanted. They never gave us what they said they were going to do. We got more money for Israel. We got more wars across the country, or across the world, rather. We got domestic spying everywhere. And, you know, people trying to go about their lives have increasingly been demonized and called all kinds of extremists and a big problem. I'm done. I'm not going to sign on. There's still people hung up on Trump. You know, it's weird. The Trump thing, you know, has really turned into to a personality cult. You know, it really it's gotten to be cultish at this point. To the point that you have Trump running as the I'm going to be the more even more extreme pro-Israel candidate. It's like he's figured out what he's got to do. He knows the election's fake, so he's got to go straight to the top. He's the deal maker. Yeah, these people clinging to Trump. It's become a weird personality thing. You see this weird stuff, you know, and you get used to it. You know, you get desensitized. Cultish behavior. I see people once in a while drive by and they'll have these window stickers where on the side window, the back window of their vehicle. And it looks like Trump sitting in the, it's supposed to look like Trump sitting in the back seat. Setting aside for the moment how cringe that is. It's weird, you know? Nobody did that before. It's like a person, it's a personality cult. The orange man is going to save us all. We just got to get him back in there, even though we know the elections are fake. We're going to get him back in there anyway. Why is he all of a sudden running as the I'm a hyper super pro Israel candidate? Why is he doing that? I don't know. It's a complete mystery. Don't question it. Trust the plan. Trust the plan. You got to trust the plan. I understand. I understand why people don't want to deal with reality, because it's not a very pleasant reality. Everything in this country, everything in the West in general, I speak specifically to the U.S. because that's where I live, but everything is fake. Everything is manufactured. The latest thing to be excited about, the latest thing to be scared of, the latest thing is all manufactured. These celebrities, you know, they're manufactured. They're selected. They take the ticket. They make the deal. You know, don't get into these positions unless you make the deal. Take the ticket. I don't ever envy those people, by the way. You know, I'm going to get into this a little bit without trying to be too preachy, because we're not into the Christian specific segment, but I want to get into this a little bit. Don't ever be tempted to be envious of these people. A lot of people, you know, there's this mindset. I see it among people, and not just younger people either. And social media is a part of this and whatnot, but people have this like notion, like your life has no meaning unless you're some kind of celebrity, trying to be some kind of celebrity, you know, social media. I see terms like this person was an Instagram influencer. I don't even know what the hell that means, but they see all this stuff around them and they don't grasp or understand. It's all manufactured. You know, I saw a little blurb on the news the other day. Of course, I kept it muted. I was waiting for the weather to come on. They were saying, oh, the CMT Awards, the Country Music Awards, you know, and I listen to country music. None of this crap now. I mean, I listen to all the old stuff. I was playing Earl Thomas Conley the other day driving along. I said, you know what? I hadn't listened to Earl Thomas. I hadn't listened to Earl Thomas. Of course, he's dead now. I hadn't listened to Earl Thomas in a while. You know? So I listen to country music. Yeah, always stuff like that. Maybe it's an age thing. Anyway, they're going along. You know, Beyonce is a country star now. Just like that. See, it just happens. As if by magic. But I saw them on there and they're talking about these awards. And of course, I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm like, I don't even know who any of these people are. You know, sometimes I'll go out to eat and they're constantly playing music in the background, you know, and they have it up on TV and these videos going along. It'd be on these country videos. I don't know who any of these people are. I know the women all look skanky as hell. And the guys, anyway, I don't know who any of these people are. And they're going on big. The big story was this guy, this big fat dude. I think his name's like Jelly Roll. Something like that. Jelly Donut. I don't know. And they're going on like, man, this guy won all these awards. Yeah, he was just, I think the story behind it, because somebody else was telling me this a while back. I probably ain't going to get this right. And I don't care enough to look it up. But somebody's telling me why. Hey, this guy was just doing like music on some social media. And look, now he up there, he won all these awards. Oh, that's fake, y'all. Y'all know that's fake, right? That doesn't just happen. It doesn't. Ain't nobody getting them positions. Don't envy these people. You look at one of these people and you say, man, they a celebrity. They got all this money. They got this and that. Yes, no, they don't. It's kind of like you trick yourself. They trick themselves and it looks like it to you. They have money, wealth, fame, fortune, all this adulation. That's why the Bible warns about, you know, chasing after the approval of men, because it's fleeting. It's ticket takers. When they take the ticket, it's like if you go and you say, you know, I'm going to go buy me a new pickup. Well, this ain't like 30 years ago where you go out and buy a new pickup for like $13,000, a nice one. Those days are over. You go say, man, I'm going to go buy the pickup. But you ain't even up on what things cost. You've been living under a rock. And you say, I'm going to go, you know what, I'm going to treat myself. Oh, I haven't had a new pickup in 30-something years. And you go down there and say, hey, this pickup here looks pretty nice. 3/4 ton. Then pretty nice little truck, you know, pretty nice truck. I pay a little more and get that heavy-duty package. May want to do some heavy-duty things. Salesman out there rubbing his hands and you like, whoa. How much does this thing cost anyway? Because they done took the sticker out of the window. You know, so they do that. Like if you kill time on a Sunday to go walk around the car, a lot of times they take them stickers out of the window now. They don't want you getting all scared right off the bat. And you're like, well, how much does this cost? And you know what the salesman going to say? He's going to say, what kind of payment are you looking for? See, he ain't going to answer that question. He ain't going to tell you what the damn thing costs. What kind of payment are you looking for? We can get you in this thing for as little as $2,000 a month. And you're like, $2,000 a month? What the hell are you talking about? I'm just going to write a check for it. And then finally, he'd be telling you, like, $98,000. And you're like, I ain't buying a house. I'm trying to buy a pickup. What you on about? But you decide you got to have this damn thing. So you go ahead, sign the papers. $2,000 a month pickup payment. Stretched out over 10, 15 years, whatever the hell. Damn thing will be wore out by then. And you go tell everybody, you go to work next day. And you're like, man, I got me a new pickup. Yeah, I bought a new pickup. See, check out my new pickup. It ain't even yours. That's a bank's. They just letting you borrow it. That's banks for the next 10 years until a wore out piece of shit. And then they don't want it no more. And then you finally pay it out, maybe. Only then you got to trade it back in. Go back into debt. Anyway, getting back on topic. This is related. These people, you see them. And there's a big celebrity in the media is, you know, blowing them in public and whatever. And telling you how awesome they are. And they just got discovered. And they see this talent didn't go undiscovered. They're amazing. They're winning all the awards. All that shit's borrowed. It's not actually theirs. The money's not theirs. The fame, the celebrity status that's generated. And they, the ones that give it can take it away. So they always have to live a certain way. They're always under the microscope. They're being managed. They have handlers. You're going to go appear here. You're going to do this. You're going to say that. This is the person you're going to be in public where you generate a big story about how y'all are dating. You don't even know who the hell this person is. You know, but they telling you, well, she another celebrity. We're going to make a big story about how y'all going out and shit. You know, that hype about that football player and Taylor Swift. That shit's all manufactured. You know, it is. That shit's all fake. They probably didn't even go out. It just show up for these public appearances. You know, they probably don't even like, they probably met like three times. I don't know, but they probably met. It's just as likely that they've met like maybe three times, sit down and talk about, you know, how we got up here and I'm going to come out and do this and you're going to say this and we're going to make this big thing and they're going to zoom the camera in on us. All that shit's fake. It ain't no wonder why so many of these people wind up having like drug and alcohol problems. It's because they know they're fake. You ever wonder that? You ever wonder why these singers? I remember seeing one of these country singers. I never cared for, never really understood who he was or what the appeal was. And this was years ago. I can't remember the damn guy's name because, again, I don't care. So I think he's from Australia or something. Anyway, you know, it winds up, he's a heroin. You know, he's going into rehab because I think he was strung out on heroin. You know, you ever ask yourself why always these people wind up with these problems? You know, you sit in there and say, man, you know, this guy got celebrity, got all this money, fame, fortune, you know. All you got to do is walk into a room of women and just pick one, like an all-you-can-eat buffet and say, I want to bang you tonight. And then bitch be stripping them panties off. He ain't even got put no effort in. And you're like, why is a person like that got to stab a needle in their arm and be strung out on heroin? You know? Because these celebrities got the most messed up life. And they don't ever ask why. Because they know. And you know, it's all fake. None of that's actually theirs. It's borrowed. It's all fake. It's manufactured. They got to follow the script. And it makes them miserable. Because they know they're fake. What a shitty way to live. No, I mean, really. You know, I find it amazing people look at these type of people and be envious of them. And like, why? I look at them almost with a certain amount of pity. I mean, I don't pity them. Piss on them. You know, because they're getting what they're getting now. They made that deal. It's always a choice. They made that deal. And the ones you make the deal with, because it's ultimately a deal with the devil, you're just working with his intermediaries. Hello. You're just working with his kid. You don't get to see the big man itself. People talk about a deal with the devil. Like you going in this hazy, smoky room. And Satan walking up out of the shadow. You ain't never going to see the big guy himself. You're just dealing with his intermediaries. Some young person, some naive fool thinking they were going to be a new star. They don't even know they're dealing with the intermediaries. They're doing a deal with the devil. They just don't get to meet him. They ain't high enough. You ain't got enough seniority to meet the big guy. But he'll send one of his kids. You can meet one of his kids. His intermediaries. Sign the paper. Make the deal. And they know in the back of their minds that this stuff is fleeting. You know, if they create these stories, you know, they create these stories. Oh, you can be seen in public with this other celebrity. We're generating this story. But when it suits them to generate a story to destroy you, to destroy this manufactured persona, they'll do that too. And it don't even matter if you went along with the script and did everything you were told and were a nice, obedient person. And tote the line. If it's expedient for them to destroy you because they're creating another narrative because they got a new person that made a deal, they'll do that too. What the devil gives, the deal you make, he could also take it away. Because again, it's never yours to begin with. Like again, it's like you took that note out the bank for that new pickup. But then you get a letter in the bank from the bank one day. It says, we're calling your note in. Unless you got $90,000 to plop down, we're repossessing it. We're calling your note in. See, the devil, he can call your note in anytime he wants to. And these people know it. That's why they're sitting around stringing out on heroin and shit. But they're taking the deal. You know, I look at them with a certain amount of pity, but at the same time, not. Because they're getting what they signed up for. You know? Everybody, media needs to just sing your praises today. Maybe not next week, but today, they sing your praises. You see people, too, once in a while. You see how quick they turn around. Like one of these people tries to turn around and break free of it. You know, they wake up one day and they say, I don't like this no more. I don't like living this way. And they try to come out and break free. And you see how quickly the note gets called. They bring them down, bring them to heel really quick. And of course, politicians are no different. You look at this, what I say, you look at these politicians. They're all deal makers. They took the ticket. They move up. There's a deal. Everything's rigged. It's all fake. I talked to someone years ago who naively attempted to run for some kind of office statewide. I don't remember. I think it was a statewide office. I don't remember the particulars. This was years ago. And they told me, they said, well, whatever happened with that? And they were like, man, me and all these other people that were going to run for this, we went in there and they basically told us, well, this person over here is going to get it. We've already picked them. Now, if you want to play ball, because see, they ain't going to come at you right away with some sort of big deal. See, they got to get you on board. They got to find out. They got to call you out. See, there's a screening process. So they say, well, if you'll drop out and endorse the person that we've already hand-selected to win, then we're going to have this other position open in 4 years, and we'll make sure you get that. And they go. You know, that's the way they screen, because the people say, well, no, I'm running for this position. It ain't supposed to be rigged. Piss on you. See, they already know you're not a deal maker. So they call you out, and you get nowhere. That's the way the system works. And you get somebody, they get a state office, and then, okay, now they want to be a congressperson. Again, they got to make the deal. They got to play ball. They're constantly being screened. Who's going to play ball? Who's not? Now, when you get into they want to be a senator, or they want to be the chairperson on this subcommittee that does this, they want to be more important. They want to be maybe go for Speaker of the House. Now they get into the serious stuff. Well, you can't move up to that position unless we have some guarantees that you're not going to go off the reservation. And that's when you get into the Epstein stuff. You know, the media, they sure deflected that, didn't they? And it's kind of like the whole when they couldn't not talk about Hunter Biden's laptop, and then they made it a story about him smoking crack and banging hookers. And it's just like that way they could completely ignore all the emails talking about the money scam they were running out of Ukraine. You know? It's like that. The Epstein thing, they made it about, oh, these underage girls and this and that. And all these celebrities, these dirty old men and shit. Why are they doing that? And there's a blackmail ring. If you want to move up, I've been this congressman. I've played ball. Now I want to be more important. I want to be Speaker of the House. We're going to have some guarantee. You've got to have some collateral. See, you got to have that bank loan. You got to have some collateral. You got to put a lien against that pickup. you they're letting you enjoy. You got to have some collateral. The collateral is that position. And you make that collateral by, well, you're going to go in here and you're going to get filmed doing child sacrifice or whatever the hell kind of creepy ass stuff. Because I guarantee the stuff that from the Epstein stuff that went public, that was the you know, distilled, homogenized stuff that, you know, version. You know, if you think all that was going on in that creepy ass place was, oh, they were banging 16-year-old hookers. I got a bridge to sell you out there. You know, I got a bridge to sell you. Crazy. You know there was crazy stuff going on. I mean, come on. They had like a satanic temple built on that island. I guarantee you there's more big filmed there than banging underage hookers. Guarantee stuff. That's the collateral. Okay, you want to be the Speaker of the House after we're done using the current Speaker of the House. Well, we're going to have to some serious collateral. Go in that room. You know they're going to be filmed. Got to make the collateral. That way you can move up. Making the deal. They're going to go off the reservation. And it don't matter how much you vote. Because you ain't got the blackmail tape. You ain't the one making the deals. It's all part of the scam. It's all fake. It's all manufactured. From Hollywood celebrities, the music industry, the politicians, everything in this country. Everything you see on that TV. That shit is all fake. Know it. It's all fake. Very fake. Okay, we're going to get into the Christian-specific segment. Hopefully we're rolling along okay. Like I said, I'm a little bit under the weather today. I'm okay, but I'm definitely not banging 100%. But hey, we're still going on. I'm enjoying the conversation. I hope you are too. We got to keep this thing rolling. You know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon at the Parish of the Patriots. In the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 24 through 26, is written, Jesus is speaking. And he says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none. He saith, I'll return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. There's been stories. I've been reading these stories here as of late. I'm sure probably all of y'all are familiar with them as well. About these squatters, you know, you've got these homeless people and people that go away for the weekend. And they come back and they got a homeless encampment in their living room or they have a rental property. You know, they got a rental property and the old tenants move out and they haven't got anybody moved in yet. And they're getting ready to go show it or whatever. And they go down there getting make sure it's all ready. Show off to the new renters. Little do they realize they already have new renters, only they're not paying any rent. They've got the homeless who come in there and just start squatting. Start squatting in the empty house, in the empty apartment, whatever. And then come to find out that the government has come in and said, well, you can't just throw them out. This, of course, happening up in Yankee land predominantly. And they said, well, you can't just throw them out. If they've been there so long, why you have to go through an eviction process and you wind up with people that can't go back into their own homes because these squatters have taken up residence there. If when you look around this country and always say we make blanket statements, you know, like, well, part of the reason, you know, the reason things are like they are is because, you know, the people have abandoned God. The people have turned their back on God. And while that may be true, how much time do we actually spend thinking about what that really means? The people have turned for generations now. You know, the people have turned, by and large, you know, away from the Lord, and they've turned towards these other things. But here's the thing. You can't walk around in a spiritual vacuum. Somebody, it's an empty house. You got all these people and they walk around and they're just empty houses, just waiting. And if you're walking around and spiritually you're an empty house, you're going to wind up with squatters living there. So much of, you know, ideas, you know, things, if you get into this sort of thing and people say, oh, you're talking about demon possession. And so many times, you know, like so many other things, I should say, you know, this has been ruined by Hollywood depictions, what an unclean spirit looks like, of what somebody corrupted, you know, looks like. And it doesn't involve vomiting pea soup and your head spinning around. People are walking around and they're empty. There's nobody living there and they're empty. And you're going to wind up with somebody living there. Now, we know that we're made in the image of God and we're supposed to be a temple unto the Lord. You know, we are supposed to be our, these bodies, we're supposed to treat ourselves as a temple of God. And yet when the temple's empty because the people have turned away from the Lord, you're going to wind up with squatters. You're going to wind up with squatters living in there. And now we have a squatter society. You walk down the street, you see these videos, you know, and these pictures, places like San Francisco, and entire rows of sidewalks in what were once bustling shopping districts. You know, you see old pictures, and those areas were developed, and there was traffic, and people walking around shopping with their families and smiling. And now you look, and it's just homeless people. They're just people lined up and down the sidewalk, crapping on the sidewalk, rolling around out of their minds on drugs, setting up tents, squatting. The smiling families are long gone. Now the squatters. The squatters are living there. And the funny thing about this is, even if you don't believe in any of this, it doesn't matter, because it still is. Somebody's going to wind up squatting in your house. Just because you don't, I don't believe in any of that Jesus, God stuff or spiritual stuff, and it doesn't matter, you're still going to wind up with somebody squatting in there. Just because you don't want to believe that's reality, it doesn't change anything. You're going to wind up with squatters. You're empty. You're walking around empty. Now you got squatters living in there. And you're going to get further and further out there. And we've seen this as a society. We look around at where people are. You know, I always say we didn't get here, you know, for, I don't want to put this, we didn't get here as a society just, you know, by happenstance. People collectively have made decisions. Now, we all know that you're only, you know, you only control yourself, and you have to make your decisions for yourself. But the problem is, this is reflective. If you have a small minority of people that have squatters living in them, but all the rest of them set their hearts upon the Lord, it's going to be reflected. Society will function. You're going to have smiling families walking up and down Main Street. But when everybody is spiritually empty, you see, they've gone chasing after nonsensical things, things that don't matter, and they've wound up empty. You know, you can pursue your job and your money and your career and the latest toys you want, or fleeting relationships, or whatever it is that tickles your fancy. But those are just meaningless things. Those are just things of this world. Every one of them is temporary. And you're going to wind up with the squatters moving in. There's nothing to spiritually fill you up. Of course, when you get enough of them, you know, you get enough people with squatters, this gets reflected on society as a whole. Remember, society is not a monolithic, you know, a singular organism. What you're just seeing is a reflection. It's a reflection of the decisions individual people have made and continue to make. They all have squatters. You got all the majority of people got a bunch of weird, wicked, evil spirits squatting in them. That's going to be reflected in your society. There are things that encourage us, true, but it still comes down to the decisions people make. I always say, you remember, you know, the devil always gives you a choice, because otherwise it doesn't work. His whole program is you've got to choose. Now, he can make that decision as difficult for you as possible. He can lie to you, which he will do. He will trick you. He will entice you and everything else. But it always has to be a choice. Always has to be a choice that you are going to choose to do that. That way he can accuse you. This is the way he works. This is that pattern that he follows. Always has to be a choice. And the people chosen to do this, you know, you can sit here and look at where the country is, and you can look back over the years, you know, as far as the societal rot and decay, and you can point to the influence and the contributions and the steering in that direction that the Jews have done, for instance, is you say, okay, well, you know, Hollywood media, this and that. And that's all well and good, but the problem is the people still had a choice. Sure, they saw this in movies, or they saw this in social media, or whatever. But if the people would have stood up and said, no, I don't care what you say, I'm not going to, you know, choose to go down that path, then it doesn't matter what they say. People draw this up, you know, that this 2% of the population is almost omnipotent. They have all of this power and they can just, you know, force people. They're not forcing people, because that's not the way the devil operates. You always have to have a choice. I feel like sometimes a lot of the pointing at the Jews is an attempt to escape responsibility for the decisions people collectively have made, if that makes sense. Again, you understand the pattern. Satan is always going to give you a choice. Again, there could be temptation. Sure, he's going to tempt you. He's going to lie to you. He's going to try to trick you. But the choice is always yours. It doesn't matter what Hollywood put out over the years. If the people would have said, I'm not going to watch that degenerate shit, then it would have amounted to nothing. They didn't have any ability to force people to go watch that. They didn't have the ability to force people to take up this lifestyle. Look at this latest whole trans thing, which is, I think, starting to kind of phase out a little bit. We don't hear about it as much as we did a year or so ago. And I saw a story recently and did a poll, you know, and in this poll, you know, this ridiculous percentage of people suddenly identifies trans, or let's be a little more broad, LGBTQ+. Suddenly this huge number of people. Yeah, I saw the story. It said they did a survey of young people. Now all of these young people, they identify, you know, as whatever the hell. I don't know. There's so many made up new genders and non-genders or whatever the hell. I gave up a long time ago trying to keep up with that. But you see, that's just squatting. We look at it because hopefully you don't have squatters living in you. And you look at this, you say, well, that's ridiculous. But you see, they see the social media and they see the media and they see this being celebrated and they say, oh, yeah, that's totally what I need to be a part of. But why would they make that decision? Because they're empty houses. They're just sitting there. Got these spirits wandering around. They say, we just go move in here. Just move in, squat. It's always a decision. People deciding to take this up, go pursuing this, and now they've got squatters. But this is where you wind up because the people are empty. Again, the people can always choose and say, well, that's stupid. Why would I do that? I don't want to be a part of the alphabet community. But you see, they go along with it. Why? Why? Because they don't believe in anything else. If you don't believe in anything else, you're just an empty house. And you open up to all kinds of people, all kinds of spirits, rather, moving in, squatting in your territory. Now, you look back, generations back, this is also reflective of a failure of the church. If the owner of the sheep shows up and the sheep are scattered all over the place, that's the fault of the shepherds. You know, it was their job to keep everybody rounded up. You know, to keep squatters from moving in. It's their job to make sure that didn't happen. When the sheep now are scattered all over the damn place, that falls to the shepherds. They didn't do their job. Again, this is reflective of this. The churches in the West particularly have failed. You know, they weren't helping people to make sure they weren't sitting around being empty houses. People went off of pursuing all of these different things. Wound up empty. You know, these empty people. They're all out there chasing some kind of meaning. It's really sad when you think about it. Because people are empty. And they're trying to find something to fill that void. They're trying to run around. And try and find something to fill that. It's something to put in their empty house. And the answer is the same answer that has always been. And again, though, they've allowed themselves to be convinced that that can't be it. That's so outdated. That's just bigotry or anti-Semitism or whatever. smear they use against the truth. Because, you see, the devil doesn't want people considering the answer that's been in front of them all this time. You can't consider that. I find it humorous. Way non-believers choose not to see the spiritual aspect of the, and the spiritual aspect, the spiritual drive of these things, it explains the parts that really don't make any sense. I kind of don't want to get off on that too much today, but the spiritual aspect explains so much that you look at it logically and say, well, you know, that doesn't make any sense. Things they see and they can't really, you can't explain it, but it's the spiritual aspect. There's a video, just as an example, there's a video, and probably y'all have seen it. It's from some time back. And Ben Shapiro was doing some kind of question and answer at a college or something. And a young man stood up and asked him a question. I don't remember the question, what it was specifically. But it was about religion. And when this person, this young man asking the question, said the name Jesus Christ, the camera's on Ben Shapiro's face, and you can see this. I mean, it just almost looks like he's grinding his teeth. You can see this look of revulsion. You could see, you could just feel it. You can see this look of revulsion, this hatred. You see, that's the power of that name. Otherwise, you know, if there's not a spiritual driver there, then what is it? You know, I mean, what else is, you can see, I mean, you literally see it on his face when that young man says the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, you can just see this. How do you explain that? If you're going to discount the spiritual aspect of these things, how are you going to explain that obvious just deep down revulsion at simply a name? If you dismiss the spiritual aspect as this is all a bunch of made-ups, gibberish, or whatever the case may be, then seeing that reaction, it doesn't make any sense. Why would he care? In fact, if anything, logically speaking, he would really butter it up. And he does attempt to do that from time to time, you know, when they go on about Judeo-Christian values and other such nonsense. But when somebody else stands up there and doesn't use a vague term like Judeo-Christian, see, that doesn't bother them. But when somebody stands up there and looks at him specifically, and in what he's speaking, he says the name of Jesus Christ, and you can just see that just tooth grinding. Doesn't make any sense unless you understand the spiritual aspect of it. You can't explain it from a logical standpoint. Logically speaking, I'll butter that up. Well, I think Jesus Christ was great. I think he was just amazing. He was the beginning of Judeo-Christian values. He's the beginning of Judeo-Christian values. And he brought a very positive message to the people. Now, I don't personally believe, you know, but he was just very, and I think, you know, as a people, the American people should get back to the things that Jesus Christ said. You're not going to hear that. You could tell you just wanted to get up and throw something at the guy. I'm going to hear that. You can't explain that logically. Logically speaking, another reaction would make more sense. But that spiritual, deep down to the point that is reflected physically, revulsion on his face at the power of that name, it tells you, doesn't it? This is a spiritual battle. This life is a spiritual battle. You're walking through this life. You're getting through this life. And you are part of that. You may not be doing some what you imagine as some big, grand thing in the grand scheme of things. It doesn't matter. Because, again, it's how you live your life. You say, well, what difference does that make? But as we said, when enough people collectively are making the decisions in their life, when you reject their offers, when you reject the temptation, when you say, well, I don't care how much you're going to promote this degeneracy, I'm not signing up for that. It's against God. I'm not going to do it. You've taken their power away from them. I hate it when people act like, you know, they have this just immense amount of power. You know, they have this immense amount of power, but they don't. Reclaim your power, for goodness sakes. They don't have power over you. They can tempt you. They can lie to you. They can try to deceive you, and they can and they will do that. But quit making them omnipotent. They don't have that power over you. It is your decision. They can't force you to do anything. They make it difficult for you to make the right decision where you're going to suffer for it. but it's still your decision. Quit giving them power over you. Just stand up and say, no, I don't care how much you promote this. I'm not going to do it. I don't care how much you say this is the latest in thing. This is the latest fad. This is the thing. Everybody, look, everybody is this. Everybody's a part of the alphabet community. Everybody's doing this. If enough people collectively for themselves make the decision that I'm not living that way, doesn't matter how much you open your laptop or turn on the TV and they're broadcasting, oh man, everybody's going out and doing this. Everybody. You don't want to be left out, do you? You don't want to be ostracized. This is the popular thing. People go along. You know, people go along. Get squatters. I was, from time to time, I had to look back at the ridiculousness of the COVID thing, you know. Wear your mask. All these people became religious zealots over the mask. Now they're trying to pretend. Them same damn people trying to pretend they weren't doing that. And you know they were, you know. You know, all these randos in the grocery store trying to go off on somebody because they're walking around without their mask on. You're trying to kill everybody. Religious zealotry. Why would you have like a religious zealotry over whether or not somebody puts an old t-shirt over their face or a piece of paper? Because they have squatters. See, if you're empty, all they got to do is just suggest when people jump on board, let the squatters in. They open the door, let the squatters in. And you saw this religious level of religious zealotry over the mass. I say now that's faded out. And it's so obviously dumb that people be trying to act like, you know, oh, well, we didn't really go along with that. Yeah, you did. I don't know. People are walking around empty like that. It must be rough, you know, because they constantly got squatters trying to move in on them and moving in. They wind up with more and more this ridiculousness moving in because they're empty. You see, when you have the Lord with you, the squatters show up and they're like, oh, maybe this place is empty. And they go creeping up. They're creeping up to look in the window and they look up. And here's this big, huge, burly guy looking back down at him through the window. Like he's fixing to grab him by the neck, choke slam him. See, that's the Holy Spirit. They see Jesus is home. I like to imagine the Lord in such a way, because the MCC has turned Jesus into like this weak, you know, love everybody, you know, I like to have this, you know, this is the advantage of also reading the Old Testament and understanding it's the same God. The homeless walking around looking for different places to squat, and they walking around in the U.S. today, and they're like, man, this is a squatter's paradise. There ain't nothing but empty houses around here. You can go move in anywhere you want, man, anywhere you want. All these people are empty. Come on, bring your friends. Come on, come on. Grand show. Let's see what kind of degenerate things we can make them, convince them to debase themselves with today. But then once in a while, they walk up on a man of God and they look in there, they're like, hey, what about this? Oh, like the big guy on the other side pointing a double barrel shotgun in their face and they're taking off running. They're like, I'm sorry, sorry, sorry. They ain't even going to try. They don't want no part. They don't want no part of that. See, you ain't got to deal with the squatters because you got somebody living there. Your temple of the Lord is present. There's someone home. The Lord is home, living in his temple like he's supposed to be. You ain't got to worry about squatters moving in. These other people, they go from one thing to another. Like I said, they all walked around. They picked up a religious zealotry. Why? Because they're spiritually empty. They're looking for something to be zealous about. So let's be zealous about put on a freaking mask and cut up a face shield and rubber gloves and a hazmat suit and pretend all this shit is real when it's obviously fake. Because they're empty. And when now that that's faded out, we all know. You know, people say, well, they're going to come. They say, well, people ain't going to fall for the next thing. They will. As long as they're empty. You won't. I hope you won't. I damn sure not. You know, but the empty people will, they'll just get another squatter move in there. The other squatter, he's going to go find some other people. These people go along with anything. And again, you can sit there and say, well, yeah, but you know, they were told this and they believed it. Look, those are excuses. If you make the right decision, you yourself individually, If enough other people for they themselves individually, collectively say, yeah, we're not doing that shit, it goes nowhere.
The government was forcing everybody to wear a mask.
No, they weren't. No, they weren't. If enough people collectively, individually said, yeah, no, I'm not doing that, that's retarded, then the whole thing would have gone away. They can sit there and demand and decree and the media can amplify all they want. See, it comes down to everybody's individual decision, and enough people collectively decide for themselves that I'm not living that way. You can't force other people to live the way you think they will, they should, rather. You can't do that. Your power is in the decisions you make for yourself. And if you live the right way, if you're not just walking around like an empty house, and enough people live that way, collectively it changes. It gets to be more and more how they said, well, we can't go and squat in this neighborhood. All these houses are occupied. We got to go up here, find another area where everybody's empty. As you're going around living your life the way you ought to, and hopefully all of you are. The squatters, those are just basically homeless. And they're walking two-legged homeless encampments. I was talking about the mask thing, the way a lot of these people got hysterical, you know, and they'd be going off on somebody. And you find the squatters, those that have squatters living in them, you know, they get hostile at you. Like I said, you think about how people were going off during the whole, you're not wearing your mask thing. The people, you run into them, if they got squatters, they get hostile towards you real quick. You're not going along. You don't have to be ugly to people. I tell you, because it's an important thing to understand, I guess, because you'll be like, why is this person, why is these other people, why they've been hostile towards me? Because they got squatters. And you see, the squatters living in there, they recognize. They don't want anything to do with you. They don't want anything to do with you because that's a homeless encampment. And they see that you're not an empty house. People trying to fill themselves up with something else on an instinctual level. People recognize something's wrong. And there you look, and so many people are going around, they're trying to fill that empty place because they know they're an empty house. And this is how they wind up with squatters as well, because they're looking around trying to find something, you know. Everybody wants to be some sort of TikTok celebrity or you know, you see people and they go to these extremes for their YouTube content or TikTok content. You know, they're going out there because if they can reestablish some kind of, you know, celebrity status. It's on TV. You got to be some kind of celebrity for your life to have any meaning. But if you're not an empty house, then you already have meaning in your life. You know, whether anybody knows who you are or not, whether you're any kind of celebrity or not. Well, these people running around empty, they're trying to find something to fill that void. You know, that's how they get sucked into these things, because they realize they're empty. They wouldn't acknowledge it. And they don't even, maybe probably they couldn't articulate to you why are they always grasping for this latest thing? Why are they chasing after this latest thing? They themselves probably don't even understand it. Again, this proves the inherent spiritual drive that exists in man. People run around chasing after all these things. And you say, why do they do that, though? Is only explained because they're spiritually empty houses. They're trying to find something to put in that house. So they're going to wind up with something living in there. And then that moves on and drifts on and brings something else back. And they wind up getting in worse and worse shape. As Jesus said, it goes off and finds more spirits, more wicked than themselves. And they all move in. The state of that man winds up worse than he began. These people are trying to fill something. They're trying. They know they're empty. They can't articulate it. They can't explain it to you. They can't put their finger on it. They're all running around trying to do this, trying to do that, chasing after this. If I only had this, if I only had that, then I'd be full. But they won't. They're just going to wind up with squatters living there. And then they're still not going to feel right. They're going to be more miserable than when they started off because they're empty. And again, these things, and I'm trying to explain this in a manner to where you can look around the world, look around at people around you, and see what I'm talking about. And I think you do. I always assume y'all are pretty smart. And these things you see, the things you can look at and observe in human behavior around you, at the end of the day, that can only be explained with the, it can, let me put it a different way, it cannot be explained outside of the spiritual understanding, of understanding the spiritual nature and the spiritual aspect. Why would people do this? Why are people pursuing this and that and chasing after this? They're just trying to fill the hole. Got to have somebody living there. Your residence needs to be occupied. Again, if it's occupied by the Lord, you're in good shape because you ain't going to fall for all this rando stuff running around. And the latest thing they tell you, you need to go chase around and do like all the other idiots. When the homeless come peeking in your window, they go running away real quick. The Lord ain't even playing. He knows, those spirits know they can't move in there. A strong man living in the house, guarding the house, won't even step foot. They don't want any part of it. They know. They know they don't want none of that. Again, you look at this. This is all, these are spiritual things that are reflected in human behavior. And you look at it again. Remember, society is not a thing in the sense that, you know, what the masses do, what people do. That's not real. What's real is that just the decisions individual people. If you live in a shit society like we do now, that is nothing more than a reflection of the decisions everybody makes. You want to know what kind of decisions collectively the people are making? That's your society. There it is. If you live in a crap society like we do, that's because the people collectively are making crap decisions. They're empty. They're homeless. They all squatters. This is a spiritual squatters paradise. A spiritual homeless camp. Yeah, that's what it is. When they roll out the next big thing, which they inevitably will, see how many people jump up to go along with it, just like they did with the COVID thing. Even people that are going around right now going, oh, well, you know, I didn't, and they did. They went along with it. They want you to think they didn't now. They're trying to play it off. You watch, because it doesn't matter what the subject matter they come up with is. You see the latest thing when people jump up and go along with it, and you don't, because you got someone living in your house. But just look. Just look. See how many of them jump up and go chasing after it. You'd be like, how many people really believe it? How many Christian people are actually out there? That'll give you a rough idea. I'll give you a rough idea. So many people run around trying to fill that empty void. You got the Lord with you. You don't need to go be all that. You don't need to be the latest thing. You don't need to go chasing after the latest thing. Just steady. You know where you're at. Okay, we're going to wrap up on that note. Hope you got something out of all the show. Hope you enjoyed all the show, especially the Christian-specific segment. That's the whole reason I do this show. And that is the centerpiece the show. I hope you did get something out of it. I hope you enjoyed it. I appreciate you joining me, and I hope I'll see you here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.